Last case for argument, United States versus Brokaw, Mr. Downen.
Good morning. May it please the court, counsel. I would respectfully submit, Your Honors, that this is a very important case of Fourth Amendment jurisprudence because it really goes to the core requirement for the issuance of a warrant. Probable cause to search can only exist if it is established that certain items are probably connected with criminal activity and are probably to be found at the present time in a certain place. So before a search warrant can issue, there must be present probable cause. The first application for search warrant did not indicate when the confidential source made the observation that there was cannabis plants on the property to be searched. And importantly,
well, isn't it clear there's just a typo here?
Well, it's clear to the government because they want it to read that way.
Well, how would you read it?
Well, it could be read to say only a few days, the word a instead of past or last, or it may be that's just what they intended to say. I don't know.
But it doesn't matter. This isn't English. On numerous occasions over the few days.
I agree, but who is to supply those words? The judge.
Well, that's why I asked you what you think it means. Do you think any typographical error invalidates a search warrant?
No, sir, I do not.
All right.
I do not.
So the first thing you try to do if you see a typo is, you know, figure out what was meant. So that's why I asked you what you thought it might have meant.
Well, I think it could equally meant over a few days.
What does that mean?
Well, that the officer talked to the confidential source over a few days, but it doesn't say when.
That doesn't sound like English either. Over a few days? What does that mean?
That means that he talked to the confidential source over a few days. It doesn't necessarily mean the last few days or
the past.
Well,
you've got the "the" in there, though. You got to take a word out.
Well, you can take a word out, but obviously there's a typographical error.
Well, but I mean,
so
we've got to insert something, not take something out.
Well, there might have been a word inserted there that shouldn't have been inserted, or there could have been a word that was left out or not left out. The point is that even if you construe that as the government would like you to construe it, it still does not deal with the proposition of when that the confidential source observed.
Well, if it's over the last few days, why isn't that good enough?
Because that's what the applicant said, that he had spoken with the confidential source. That doesn't mean when the confidential source made the observation. There's a big difference there. The confidential source could have spoken to the sheriff over the last few days or the past few days, but that hasn't anything to do with when the confidential source made the observations about the cannabis. For instance,
that's a completely different argument, right? That has nothing to do with the typo.
Exactly. So part of my argument here, Your Honor, is that even if you concede that the typographical error was leaving out the word last or the word past to read that he talked to the confidential source in the last few days or the past few days, it doesn't cure the situation that the confidential source never says, it's not in the application, when the confidential source made the observations about the cannabis. For instance, he could have talked to the confidential source within the last few days, past few days, last or past, whichever you choose. And the confidential source could have said, I was out at the defendant's property a year ago, and I saw that there was cannabis being dried on the property. So the word "was being dried on the property," according to the district court, was present tense. But it has to be relative to the time period in which the confidential source made the observations. And that's just absolutely lacking, no matter if you insert the word "last" or "past." And there's nothing in the record. See, I was a former state's attorney, and I know sometimes when I presented applications for search warrants to judges that they looked at them and they said, well, that doesn't make sense. And at the time before the issuance, there was a correction made. So there were no corrections made in this application. So we must assume that the judge read it just exactly like it was printed. And just exactly like it was printed has no reference to when the confidential source made these observations, despite whatever word that you want to insert before few days. If you want to say last or past, it has nothing to do with when the confidential source made those observations.
Do we take into consideration the date signed on the warrant that the judge signed it?
Well, that's only the date that the applicant presented it to the judge.
I know what it is. I said, yes. Don't we take that into consideration?
I would say no, because it has nothing to, it only goes to the time that the applicant was there and presented it to the judge. The applicant's information is hearsay information from the confidential source. There's only probable cause here if it's supplied by the confidential source, and there's only probable cause if it's present probable cause. So it doesn't matter when the applicant appeared before the judge.
I just asked you one question. Is it taken into consideration? The answer is yes.
The answer, okay. No, I would disagree. The answer is no as far as when the application was made. I say it's absolutely immaterial because a confidential source could have seen it a year ago, 2 years ago,
Probably six years ago.
Exactly.
But this, they had typewriters in.
This,
exactly.
The reference in the search warrant, in the affidavit, is to what the deputy saw, not the informant.
No, sir. No, sir. The probable cause was supplied by the confidential source, not the deputy. He is relaying that information to the sheriff. And the sheriff is the one that signs the application based upon the information given to him by the confidential source. And it's the confidential source that says that he's...
The application says the applicant, Deputy Greg Duligman, etc., says the applicant assisted Sheriff Scott...
I think it's the second warrant.
Pardon?
I think that's the second warrant.
The second warrant.
Yes, that may be.
I'm sorry.
That may be because the second application...
Page 6 in your brief is the original.
Right.
Yeah, the second application was based upon items found pursuant to the first application. But the first application is strictly on information provided by a confidential source to the sheriff.
Well, assuming in the past few days, the last line in that application says, the applicant told me there was cannabis being dried in a shed on the property, which is would indicate in the past few days there was cannabis being dried, right?
No. I don't agree with that at all because they're two different things. The applicant is saying that he had a conversation with the confidential source within the last few days.
Right.
And then it goes down to say that the applicant told him that there was cannabis being dried.
Cannabis was being dried?
Being dried, yes. But it doesn't say when.
You can just say within the past few days.
Well, I guess you could say that. I mean, that's what the government wants you to believe, that's what it means. But
well, we want us to believe something else.
It could be anything because it doesn't say when he saw it. It doesn't say he could have the conversation with him. The search warrant could have been done on Thursday, and he could have talked to the confidential source on a Monday. But that doesn't have anything to do with when
does the search warrant get stale? Does it have to be done within 2 hours, 24 hours, 2 days?
You can find hundreds of cases on that, Your Honor, and you won't find a definitive answer anywhere. But there has to be some indication when the confidential source observed the contraband. And that's the problem here. It doesn't say he saw it a week ago, so you can argue, well, that's not stale, or he said he saw it a year.
But going back to that, if you read it last few days, past few days, and he says, I saw it was being dried, you can infer that it was within the last few days.
You could make that inference, certainly, if you wanted to. You could make that inference. I think that's a big stretch to make, because I think a search, I think the judge, again, the judge that read this didn't make any corrections in it. Hopefully he read it. But if he did, he read it just like it was, with no corrections, with not the word last or past in there. And when you read it just like it is, it doesn't have anything about present probable cause. And certainly, yes, you could jump from one thing to another. You could say, well, this word was omitted, and this is the word we should use. And because he talked to him within the last few days, then he had to see it within the last few days. But it doesn't say that.
And there was a good faith enforcement of this search warrant. They actually came back for another one when they decided.
They did.
They probably didn't have to do.
They did, but there's nothing in the record to indicate that any of the officers acted in good faith, which is a normal requirement that somebody has to say, well, you know, there may have been something wrong with this, but I acted in good faith. And besides, there's a lot of law out there concerning search warrants that just do not stand up, do not show probable cause, are accepted from the good faith requirement.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, sir. Mr.
Down and Mr. Norwood.
Good morning, Your Honors, and may it please the Court. My name is George Norwood. I also am an Assistant United States Attorney from the Southern District of Illinois. Search warrants should be read using common sense and not in a hyper-technical manner. Most search warrants written by police officers are not literary masterpieces. A common sense reading of the application for the search warrant clearly indicates that there was a word missing. The state court judge read it, found probable cause. The United States District Court judge read it, found probable cause. The confidential source said there is pot growing out in the shed. The officers go there, and sure enough, there is pot growing out in the shed, along with firearms and explosive devices. The officers go back to the state court judge in what I submit is very good faith in saying, Judge, we were out there on your warrant for marijuana. There's also guns and explosives. Can we get those also? There is nothing in this case, if you read this using common sense and not in a hyper-technical manner, and remember that doubtful cases are to be resolved and with upholding the warrant, there is nothing to indicate that this was not a warrant supported by probable cause. Mm-hmm. If there are no questions.
Fine.
Thank you.
Okay, well, thank you very much. And your time had expired, Mr. Downen. So the case will be taken under advisement. The court will be in recess.